Welcome to Beyond the Stethoscope, the podcast for veterinarians, healthcare providers, and busy professionals who want actionable, implementable solutions surrounding work-life balance, accomplishing your goals, and living your dreams. I'm your host, Dr. Angela Demery.
I have been getting so many questions on COVID-19, and I'm reading on social media all of these almost misperceptions about, like, what do we believe? The pandemic has become politicized. And so should I believe the public health official or should I believe the governor? What happens when the public health officials and our president are saying different things? And who do I trust? Who do I believe? And I see all these people and, you know, trying to work out for themselves what the math is, what the reality is, how to look and think about the data. As many of you know, I am a veteran, I am a veterinarian, and I have a master's of public health in biostatistics and epidemiology. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the politics of COVID-19, but also a framework for how to look at the data and the math and what trends to look at, and also how to do the math for yourself in your own local community to make your own best decisions. So I did write some notes, so I'm going to look away from time to time. What this is not an epidemiology class, okay? So, you know, we're not going to talk about point estimates, we're not going to get into the weeds, we're not going to get mired in the biostatistics or the epidemiology for epidemiologists, but just to give you a framework as like a voter's guide. I'm a voter. How the heck do I assess whether or not my political candidates, elected officials are doing a good job with the pandemic? And how do I assess what I do for myself and my family? Do we wear masks? Do we continue to social distance? Is it just a political ploy? Or is there real data and science behind that? So, here is the information that I can share to teach you and share a few ways to look at the data to make up your own minds on how you want to interact with the world and when you're going to feel safe to do it. So to start, I had a friend on social media asking, hey, if we do more tests, then of course we're going to have more positives. So how do we know if the number of positive tests have gone up because we are doing more tests, or if we're still seeing the spread of COVID-19. And I've seen this explained a couple of ways in the newspapers, but I think it's still confusing because even as somebody with a master's of public health in biostatistics and epidemiology, I had to sit down with that newspaper article and take a step back and a pen and paper and do the math. So this isn't intuitive to how we've learned math or disease transmission. And how many of us learned about disease transmission in grade school up until the pandemic? I'm not really sure that that is something that is being taught on a day-to-day basis. So one way to look at this information is to take, and I really caution you against taking single days, because there's a lot of fluctuation in the data. So I did this for my own county in Indiana. I did this for the counties that are different across the state that my family lives in across the state of Indiana. And so that was really helpful to figure out what the trends were regarding some population and some other things I was curious about. And I will say the county level data does vary quite a lot. So I would be sure to go to your state and county dashboards that they're publicizing the data. And then to recognize, you can't just take each day individually. You might have to open up a spreadsheet, do some math, and really look at it. And it may take a couple of hours. So this isn't super quick, but I also have a way to just quickly look at the data. So I'll teach you that second. But I wanted you to understand like a way to actually look at the math. So to start with, if you take the number of positive cases, that means they're confirmed positive tests. They're not just positive tests, but they're people that they've then confirmed they actually do have COVID. So they're cases. That's the difference between a positive test result and a case, because course, we know that there could be false positives. So you'll see the data reported out as positive cases. So when you take the number of positive cases and you divide it by the number of tests that were completed, then you get the ratio. And what we want to do is follow that ratio over time to say, is that ratio increasing? Is it decreasing? Or is it staying the same? And that can give you an idea of how it's spreading through your community. Now, when I looked at the county level data, there was huge discrepancies day to day. So, I mean, it's like 300 tests one day, 10 tests the next. I mean, it was all over the map. So what I did to find a way to compare the numbers, and again, the more data you have, the more you can kind of see the trend over time. A lot of the counties in the states are putting out that percentage of positive tests, positive cases to the number of tests, but it's accumulative. So we aren't seeing the change over time and the fluctuation over time, but I'm pretty sure that the county health departments are looking at that data, along with some other epidemiological data points to have a holistic picture. So what I did was I took the first 10 days of April, all the positive cases, I added them up in a spreadsheet. Then I took the first 10 days of April, all of the tests that were completed as my denominator, added those up, and then divided the number of cases divided by the number of tests for the first 10 days of April. Then I did the same thing for May, the same thing for June, and then I'll do the same thing for July. And actually, I did the 15 days. What I found was that there was sometimes in some counties a statistically significant difference between 10 and 15 days, but not always. So the data I think was better data for the counties I looked at in Indiana was the first 15 days of every month and took those averages. You could take the second 15 days of every month. You could take all 30 days of every month. But whatever you do, you want to be comparing the same thing. And I really do caution you at comparing less than 10 days, because I really think the day-to-day fluctuations can create a false narrative that may not be true. So we really have to look at this holistically and as trends versus at each point in time. The point in times can be helpful, but looking at those trends is going to be way better. The other trend you want to look at, and I'll post the link to, I think it was Washington University or Washington State University has an incredible dashboard, and they do have some trends on there that are really helpful. A very quick snapshot to look at a statewide level. Again, this isn't going to be your local community, but a statewide level is that you want to see tests go up and you want to see the COVID virus, the cases go down. So as the tests trend up, the cases trend down. That is positive, right? So that means we've got more testing being done, which means a bigger percentage of the population, hopefully a random percentage of the population. And then in places where we think that there would be COVID, which makes it even more stronger. So if basically, let's say we know that there are hot spots or flare-ups of the virus in certain places within the community geographically, and we go and test more people in those hotspots and we see testing go up and the case numbers going down, then that means we're getting a handle on the virus. If we're testing everything around those places where we see positive cases come up and we're not looking for the virus, then it's hard to know. But if we are taking a statistically random sample of the population and we're seeing the test numbers go up and the cases go down, that's also very positive. So without being in the county health department, it's really hard for us to understand what's happening at the local community. But those are two ways that are good ways to understand this. The second thing I'll say is that respiratory viruses are spread through respiratory droplets. Singing, yelling, standing close quarters, talking for 10 minutes, that is an increase in opportunity and potential to spread the virus, to contract the virus. So you want to be wearing masks and you want to be maintaining 6-foot distances. I would do both. Until we really learn more about the disease transmission, there's lots and lots of papers and lots of studies out there. I am not up on all that data, but I would really listen to your doctors. I would really listen to the public health officials who are looking at the data, who are studying that data, who it is their daily job to be doing it. And they're working 60, 70, 80 hours a week to be able to get you that level of information and the good guidance. So even if we, you know, don't think we have it, don't think we came into contact with anybody, it's just, you know, it's just saying, hey, I care about you in the community. I'm going to wear a mask to protect you because you're my friend, because you're somebody I care about. So that's a little bit how I view wearing masks and why I just do it 100% of the time, because I believe it's important to be a role model. I'm a public health professional and I ran for Congress in 2016. And I think it's important to be just a positive role model in the community as well. So that might be another way to look at it. That's the advice I have for how to look at the data, how to decide for yourself, how you want to interact and start interacting as the restrictions get released. I know a lot of governors, a lot of states, a lot of counties have either paused or put back in place some additional restrictions. So I still take care. Make sure you're washing your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds at a time. Don't forget between your fingers and your thumbs, and make sure that you wash the palms as well, because there's all those lifelines and everything in there where the germs can get stuck too. So have a wonderful day. And I forgot to mention that all of the data is from the past. So the number of cases, the number of deaths, the number of hospitalizations, all of that data is 2 or 3 weeks in the past. So there's a lag, and that's kind of what all of these epidemiologists and public health officials mean by a lag phase, that there is a gap between when the thing actually occurs, when the person actually gets the virus to test positive, and when they are tested positive. That can be 10 to 14 days, so up to 2 weeks. Then, because you're not gonna go get tested or show up positive on a test or be a confirmed positive case if you have no symptoms, right? So you caught the virus 14 days ago, 2 weeks ago. Then when people are deciding to go to the hospital to get help, that could be another 10 to 14 days. And then people typically aren't dying for maybe another 18 to 21 days afterwards. And so when you start just getting, and these numbers may not be exactly perfect anymore. I know the data keeps changing. So that's my disclaimer there. Like, I don't have today's numbers, but I just wanted to give some sense of how to look at the data, how to look at the trends, and what the data means. So I'm really interested in what the data in the future is, because that's going to tell me what's happening today. So 2 to 3 weeks from now, we'll have the data to know what's happening in our communities today. So that's why these projections are really important. They're very complex models, and it's not going to be perfect. They're projections, they're models, they're meant to be updated, and we're always learning new information. So you just have to understand, and I hope it makes sense, that this isn't perfect and we don't have all of the answers, which makes it really frustrating on knowing what to do. What do we do for ourselves and our family when we don't have all the facts, we don't have all the data, because that's the nature of a disease. And that's why it's really important to understand and listen to our public health officials, listen to our doctors. They understand disease transmission and how respiratory disease is spread throughout communities and what to do to keep us safe. Wanted to make sure I clarified that, because it was a big gap in what I shared earlier. But happy to answer your questions. Comment below what you think. and I look forward to hearing from you.
That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Beyond the Stethoscope. I hope you are inspired to take actionable steps towards accomplishing your goals and living your dreams.